A very good morning to you. Good morning, my dear people. Good morning, my dear listener. Good morning, Namibia. Welcome, welcome. Good morning and welcome to your favorite station. Welcome to your favorite, you know, radio station, Eagle FM. And thank you, David, for handing over the mic on this side of the world, on this side of the country, on this side, the great Oshana region. So we're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. My name is Mike Oshovedi, and this is Unpicking the Day. It's April. It's the first of April. So yesterday, yeah, it was not at 12 o'clock when the the petrol and diesel actually increased. It was not an April Fool. It's actually totally happening. If you go to the petrol pump, you know, if you go to the station, those numbers are not, they are not fooling you. All right, they are not fooling you. They actually just it's real. It's not an April Fool. It's April Fool, but they are not, those numbers are not fooling you, okay? So it's true. Yeah, I just realized when I look at the way we, you remember there was that decrease. So there was that decrease some months ago. You know, we actually just moved where we were. So when you look at how much that has been added, it's actually, we just actually moved where we were before, you know. So, yeah, when I thought of that, when I looked at that, I just realized, okay, it's bad, but there was a relief a little bit of that time. So now we just went back where we were before it was actually decreased. And if that's the case, then I'm more likely to think that, you know, tax fare probably is not going to be increased because, you know, we just moved where we were before there was a decrease. Yeah. So, yeah. No, those are just my thoughts. Actually, when I look at how much did we decrease last time to look at how much we increase right now, it's exactly the more or less the same thing. We just went where we were. Yeah. And I kind of think, these guys know what they're doing actually. All right. Yeah. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. And welcome. This is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on. What is going on in business, in economics and politics. This is where you come. So, and every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, you know, trends and numbers that are making headlines. So we do it here. So we keep it clear. Always what we are known for here is asking questions, always being curious, asking questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and then spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack if you're just joining us for the first time today. So this is your space. You're most welcome to unpack the headlines actually with moi and to get to the heart of the story. So welcome and thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining us at this point in time, like as politician would probably say, at this juncture, you know. Thanks for joining us at this juncture. All right. So our time, it's about 6 minutes past the hour of eight, the hour of eight, and we go. So we go until the hour of 10. So we are just right at the beginning of our show. And well, get on board if you just actually coming in now, tuning in now. All right. So first of all, we go back into history. We go back into history, especially what happened on this day in Africa. So the 1st of April. So good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are tuning in from across the continent and the diaspora. So welcome to this segment of On This Day in Africa. So today we are turning the clock back to some remarkable moments in African history that fell on this very date, on the 1st of April. So let's start with a big one. The year is 1966 and the city of Dakar, Senegal. So in the city, and the city of Dakar in Senegal is about to make history. So on this day, the first ever World Festival of Black Art, the first ever World Festival of Black Art, or as it's known in French, the Festival Mondial des Arts de Grèce, Festival Mondial des Arts I'm not a French. I don't even know anything in France, in French. So, well, it threw open its doors. And when I say it was big, I mean it was big. We are talking about artists, writers, musicians, dancers, and performers descending on Dakar from all corner of Africa and from black communities right around the world. So the festival ran, through to the 24th of April, So nearly a full month of celebration, creativity and cultural pride. So now then the man behind it all was Léopold Sédar Senghor, a Senegal first president, and honestly, one of the most fascinating figures in African political and cultural history. So Senghor wasn't just a politician. This guy wasn't just a politician. He was a poet, a philosopher, and one of the founding voices of negritude. So a movement that said, in no uncertain terms, African identity, African culture, the black experience are not just valid. They are extraordinary and they deserve to be celebrated on the world stage, So this festival was his vision made real, a gathering that said to the world, look at what we are created. Look at what we have created. Look at who we are. So that was the festival. So now let's step back even further, all the way to April 1946. The League of Nations had the League of Nations had just dissolved, and the world was now figuring out what came next. So one of the big questions on the table was, what happened to the territories that the League used to oversee? And that's where the United Nations trustee system comes in. So now this discussion may sound, bureaucratic on a paper, but they had actually real lasting consequences, because especially right here in Southern Africa, and for us, because one of those territories was Southwest Africa, the land of the brave, Namibia, what we now know as the land of the brave, Namibia. So South Africa was holding on to its mandate over the territory, and this UN conversation set the stage for decades of actually legal battles, international pressure, and ultimately Namibia long walk to independence. So yeah, so there you have it. Two moments, one date, a festival that celebrated African brilliance and went and set a political discussion that, you know, held shape to the future of the nation of Namibia. So, yeah, that this has been on this day in Africa until, you know, when we talk about, when we look at that tomorrow again. So make sure that you tune in for history, you know, in our, on our continent. All right. Good morning. Good morning. And welcome. It's the first. It's a new month. It's the first week of the new month. Just be careful that you don't make a fool today. Just question everything you are told to do, you know, question everything. Okay. Don't just take anything for granted. You might end up yourself. You might end up somewhere where you don't want to, or doing something that you might not, that you may not regret. I don't think many people go to such an extent where you kind of like, oh, yeah, I was made a fool once. Yeah. So made to drive somewhere. But it wasn't funny. It wasn't funny at all. So I think that was only one time. Otherwise, other things are just minor things that don't really, yeah, don't really make much of a difference. All right. 13 minutes. Past eight. So, yeah, the thought for the day today. So today's thought is, it's quite simple. It's a proverb that say, however long the night, the dawn will break. However long the night, the dawn will always break. Now, so in life, we all go through, how would I say? We all go through dark seasons, okay? There are times when problems feel heavy, answers feel far away, and hope feels weak, actually. So, but this proverb reminds us that darkness does not last forever. So no matter how hard things are right now, morning always comes. Morning always comes. Pain changes, struggle passes, new chances appear. So today, hold on a little longer, okay? Hold on a little longer. Keep faith and keep moving forward. So your dawn is coming, all right? So hold on a little longer. Keep faith and keep moving forward because your dawn is coming. So this is Unpacking the Day, and that is today's thought, the thought of the day. So tune in. Stay tuned. And because when we come back, we look at what are we looking forward to today on the, okay, let's do that quickly and then, just have that commercial break as coming up. All right. So what we are looking forward, what we have on the plate, what is we have on the plate? First of all, at 9 o'clock, you know, we have this, coming up, tournament coming up. So Seyakuku, not Seyaku, not Tsenaye. So Seyakuku Easter tournament, 2026 coming up, this over the weekend and, around 9 o'clock, I will have Mr. Da Silva just to tell us how, what is going to happen on this tournament. So I will have Mr. Da Silva, Seyakuku, around 9 o'clock and talking about Seyakuku Easter Tournament 2026. It's not a tournament that to be missed, seriously. But make sure also that you stay tuned in to hear what is going to be. Because this year, it's bigger and better, as they say. So make sure that you tune in to hear how is the tournament going to take place, and and many more, and much, much, much more. Just make sure that you are tuning for that. So the Namibian government is reforming the business model of its strategic national oil reserve, okay, the energy buffer, you know, to boost now local access and ensure It is sustainability, and ensure its sustainability. So now, despite now facing this severe operational and financial challenge, so we're talking about the national oil storage facility. So given now where we are, so we're looking at this energy buffer and look at and get into the detail, into a little bit of a detail about that. We're unpacking that this morning, so make sure that you tune in for that, you stay tuned in for that. And also, there has been a launch. There are so many launches all the time. But this is something that I really, really think it's something that really good. Namibia has launched that new national strategic to modernize its digital payment. The instant payment system. So, yeah, to digital payment system. And that's aiming now to make money transfer faster, safer. Okay, that's according to them. And more affordable for all citizens. For me, that's exciting. So we're going to look at that and see how would that actually improve how that would actually be a financial inclusion, and also how that would help to maybe reduce poverty, because the way we even people in the rural area would be able to do their business. All right, so. Yeah, so quickly, let's go to the commercial, and then we come back and start that.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know. You love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Yeah, that's right. This is Eagle FM. And if you're just joining us, welcome to Unpacking the Day. And I'm glad you are tuned in. And it is great to have you with us. It's really a pleasure for us to have you with us. So today is April the 1st. You know, petrol went up by $2.50 a liter. And diesel, $4 a liter. $4. That will hit, I can tell you that will hit the tax driver, the farmer, the trucker, everybody. Okay, that's definitely gonna hit everybody. Now, and here's the thing: our government just announced it's slashing fuel levies by half for the next 3 months, just to cushion us. That's to protect us, spending nearly $500 million from the National Energy Fund to absorb the shock. So that's telling you how serious actually this is. All right, and Yeah, the serious thing is that the longer this actually war goes on, it's very difficult. It will be very, very, very difficult for the government, you know, to keep up that job, because spending nearly $500 million a month, that's gonna be a burden to the government. So yeah. So let's just hope that things change soon, and really, really, really soon, because that's going to affect, it's affecting us already, you know, that's affecting us already. So we have to dig deeper into our pocket again. And the thing is, your salary still remained the same, you know, prices are going up in everything. Many things going to go up now, you know, food prices, maybe, you know, it's going to go up. Even if it's not, it doesn't necessarily increase, because of the increases, there's a hole in your purse, in your pocket. So where do you gonna get that money? So that means everything becomes expensive. So, well, but now I don't just want to talk about, you know, about the price at the pump, okay, at the petrol station. I want to take you deep. You know, I want to take you to Wavish Bay, to a massive facility, you know, sitting on the edge of the Atlantic Ocean, okay? It is called the National Oil Storage Facility. So have you heard about it? Of course, most of you. If you are part of this show, you probably have heard it. So, but if you're just joining us today, so we're talking about the National Oil Storage Facilities, the NOSFM, in short. So, and every thorough piece, New Era, there's this thorough piece by Edgar Brandt, you know, this week. And it pulled back really the curtain on what is happening there, you know. So a very, very, very good thorough piece there. So let's unpack it, because it's quite interesting given where we are this morning. So, and here's the story, okay? Not the story, but here's the history. So, because this story, it didn't start now, it didn't start yesterday. So, back in the day, so that I want you to understand where we are, you know, in terms of this, when even the minister said, don't panic, and, you know, we still have enough fuel. You know, so back in the day, Namibia's fuel security was terribly thin. You know, it was really, really thin. We had maybe like 7 to 10 days worth of the fuel reserves. Okay. Just about 7 to 10 days worth of the fuel reserves. So that's it. Now think about that now. So if you think of in terms of that, if there was a disruption like that we have, we could have been finished. Okay. So, With that cushion of just 7 to 10 days worth of the fuel reserves, so one disruption, one shipping delay, one crisis like this one in the Middle East, and this country runs dry in a week. You understand? In a week. Probably in a week and a half. So the government said, no, we need to fix this. Okay, the government has decided, okay, we need to fix that. The cabinet approved the construction of the National Oil Storage Facility at Wavish Bay. Now, construction kicked off in January 2015. It kicked off in January 2015. The original price tag of the storage facility, it was about 3.7 billion Namibian dollar. Okay, 3.7 billion Namibian dollar. Imagine those kind of investment that we're putting into this. Ambitious, but, you know, manageable. Okay. But then, like many other things that we do here, you know how this big government project goes. The cost started climbing. Scope changes, exchange rate crashes, you know. By the time the key were handed over to NAMCOR, when was it? To NAMCOR in March 2021. So in March 2021, the bill had ballooned to 6.5 billion. Almost double the original estimate. So that facility, that national oil storage facility, cost us 6.5 billion. All right? So, and that cost you, the taxpayers, okay? But, well, funded by loans from the Developing Bank of Namibia and also from the African Development Bank. Okay, so we are paying those loans back at about, $55 million a month. We're still paying it, $55 million a month. So, guess who is fooling, who's footing actually those bills? Who's footing those bills? Well, it's you and me. Yeah? We are the one that footing that bills. So though through the fuel levy of 60 cent on every liter we buy, 60 cent of every liter we buy. So we are actually footing that bill as well. So this is, it's not something, you know, it's not somebody else's problem, you know, it's not really somebody else's problem. This is our facility, okay? Our money. And that's why what happening inside those gates at Wavish Bay matter to really every Namibians. All right. Now here's where the story now get a bit get hot, spicy, eh? It's where it get hot, and I want you really to get on this, okay? I want you to get on this with me on this now. So this massive world-class facility, 75 million liters of capacity, 75 million liters of capacity, 7 tanks, state-of-the-art pipelines, you know, and a brand new tanker jet. And for 5 years, okay, for 5 years, only one local company used it. For 5 years, only one local company used it. One, a company called Validus Energy. Eh? So a company called Validus Energy. So now, who is behind the Validus? Okay? And we even say it's a local company. But who is behind the Validus? Well, the report indicated that the company is co-owned by a businessman who previously served as a deputy chairperson of Namcor itself. So, and that person is holding 30% through an investment firm. Now, with the remaining actually 70% owned by Vito. And do you know who's Vito? A global energy trading giant. So 70% still, actually, even we said it's used only for 5 years, it's been only used by a local company. It's not fully.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right. So, yeah. Even if we say, local company, you know, that has been operating for 5 years, only one. So 70% of that company is owned by Vito, and this is actually a global energy trading giant. Now, what did Validus pay to store fuel in this multi-billion-dollar national asset? 4 cent per liter. Wonder never cease, ne? They said wonders never cease, you know? So 4 cent a liter. Now, 4 cent Meanwhile, the industry players were prepared actually to pay like up to 19 cents a liter. Yeah? And if you look at the, there was this story in the Namibian Sun. The Namibian Sun reported that the state may have actually forfeited up to 100 million in potential revenue over the life of that contract of Alidus. $100 million gone because the pricing didn't actually reflect the market reality. So January 20, around the Namibian Sun, you know. But is that how we should be managing our strategic national asset, really? Yeah? A facility we are actually still paying on loan. We're still actually paying loan on. And the one tenant was getting a bargain-based deal. Was really getting a bargain-based deal. Basement deal. Now, so just think about that, you know? Now, but there's a good news, though. All right? There's a good news. The contract of... the contract expired in January this year. The contract of what is that company? Validus expired this year. I don't know whether it's a good news or not good. Yeah, but it's good news. It expired. So this year in January, it was not renewed. Okay. So now an interim arrangement is now in place at about. So now they have changed. It's at about 17 cents per liter. Imagine 4 per liter. So now you see that jump now, 17 cents per liter. And NAMCO's monthly revenue from the facility has jumped from about $1.8 million to $5 million. So, and that's a start. That's honestly a start. But it raises a question. Why did it take 5 years to fix this? Why did it take 5 years to fix this? All right. So now, okay. All right. So what is changing now? Okay. Let's not dwell on that. But these are very important things to understand in what an environment that we're operating and what is happening. Okay. I'm giving all this background for you to really understand. You just hear this, oh no, we have the facility, you know, reservoir, oil fall reservoir. And what is other things that are happening? Is it run properly, you know? So, and if you can see that, is it operating properly? Does it have the capacity? So those are the things. And before you just, okay, relax and think, hey, the government got it. The government got it. Yeah, there's nothing to worry about. Like what Mr. Amsa telling you. So, and you said, yeah, he said so. He said it's fine. We are fine. No. Make the digging. Dig yourself. Find out, is this true? What are the issues? What are the factors that may put us actually in trouble? So what is changing now? Okay. And this is the part, I think, of the story that actually gave me some hope. So the article reveals that the Ministry of Mines and Energy, together with NAMCO now, is conducting a full review of the storage fees. So the acting terminal manager, it's Dr. Victoria Nepembe, I think her name is Victoria Nepembe, explained that the old pricing structure was actually set below market rates and is now being completely reassessed. Okay, so... as I said, that's a start. And the goal is a transparent, fair system where clients now pay based on actual storage volumes and service. Okay, that now whoever's going to use that storage, it's paying based on the actual storage volumes, how much are they actually storing, and the services that they are probably receiving. So, but here's the reality. But here is the really interesting shift, you know. For me, here's the interesting shift. Management is considering moving away now from long-term contract entirely. Okay? So remember that that company, Validus, you know, it's contracted for how long? For 5 years. So what now, the new management, the management now is actually saying, okay, instead of locking up tank space for years, they want to introduce a short-term contract, maximum 30 days. So now with flexibility of even shorter periods, you know? So now, what does that, how significant is that? Okay, because it means more now. The whole idea is that more Namibian business can now rotate through. Okay, they can rotate through. It lowers the barrier of smaller operators. Okay, so imagine a local entrepreneur who wants to import diesel or let's say aviation fuel, for example. So right now they cannot compete because the big boys have the space locked down for 5 years or 10 years, whatever. So they got the space locked down. So I think, but with a rotating short-term access, the playing field is open up. So the playing field actually open up. So yeah, I think that's, as I said, that's the interesting shift I see by the new management, but the management. So, well, a pin has to drop, as they said. Maybe the pin has dropped here. And they say, the article also indicating that there's a surge of interest. You know, local companies want in for diesel, petrol, Jet A1 fuel. So there are interest. So there's one example, you know, example from the article, a company currently tracking aviation fuel all the way from South Africa by road, you know. So it's actually, if using road, if you're aviation, I mean, if you're tracking by road, so that would be very expensive, inefficient, and also unsustainable. So then, but if they could import, for example, if they could import by sea through now the national oil storage facilities, excuse me, and distributed domestically, you know, that would change a lot. You know, that would be a game changer. So, yeah, because, you know, it will lower the cost. Okay, it will lower the cost as comparing to trekking on the road. So better supply reliability as well. Okay, so, yeah. So then I ask you, okay, isn't this what economic empowerment should look like? So not those, you know, tender and handshakes in window boardrooms, but a real access to real infrastructure. Eh? That changes how Namibian business actually operate. I think that's the way. That's the economic empowerment. Eh? That is the economic empowerment we're talking about. So, but you know, here, this is Unpacking the Day, so we don't carry it away. Let's not get carried away here, because behind the reforms and the optimism, there is some hard truth, okay? So there is some hard truth, and the hard truth is that the facility is expensive to run. I mean expensive. Well, if I could have spelled expensive, I won't even remember all the letters. So it is expensive. So the 5 years in, the national oil storage facilities is already battling aging equipment. So equipment are already aging. I think the Walvis Bay coastline, that beautiful Atlantic air, it's brutally corrosive. very corrosive. You know, the salt eat metal. Okay, the salt eat metal. So the valve start to fail, automated system break down. And when they break down, workers have to do things manually, which means more labor. And the other thing is also more safety risk. So, and those things are costly. They are very, 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 very costly. So, and here's the problem. Much of the facility was built using Chinese technology. Okay? You can just guess what is the problem. Eh? It's using Chinese. No. It's not that the manual is in Chinese and we can't read it. That's not the case. So when something break, you can't just call a technician in Windhoek or even in Johannesburg, or maybe from South Africa. You cannot just call the technician, hey, come and fix this. No. You need an original equipment manufacturer. The original equipment manufacturer. In China. And the article described how the AC system, for example, which control the temperature and air quality in sensitive areas, is currently non-functional. At this point, it's non-functional. But it can't be fixed locally. It cannot be fixed locally. So the expert has to come from China, have to come from overseas. And that takes time, and that costs money. You see how we can be very overlook, you know, how do we plan this? Well, the technical, the acting tenor, the terminal manager, was it Nepembe? So is pushing hard for capacity building. Okay. So it's like ngewafa ngene tokoro kambwa nemu mo tokoro kambwa kucho tokoro kambwa mufi kundish, you know, ngaho tokoro kambwa mufi kune. Yeah, when you are now in trouble, it's when are you thinking, oh, okay, we need actually to push for capacity building. Where have you been all this time? It's been 5 years. By the time already you are building, before you even in blade, this was, should have been already in your planning. You know where you're going to hire, where you're going to get all your equipment and all that. And you know that you're not the expert on those equipment. Why didn't you even have people trained, understudy, under this expertise? Sometimes you kind of think, how do people actually plan? How do people plan? Yeah. So they said we should be pushing for capacity building training in Namibia to service this infrastructure. As I said, we'll come back after this.
Kapena we shara dingiryo kuinyanyuza karisho mawadhano wakomvogo tsea kuku Easter Soccer Tournament mwike ndanjono erondo. Tuwaimina anopoka pari kwa mawadhano kwa tsea kuku mwishitopo rasha Eheke District chotu nyanyukiro nipamu. Shinasha nundunda wa mangeshefiro landesha radioe yomarandithiro kondandu wa shike uchimbari wa chondora wa materegeri gatano. Shinasha nuyeri na tangu wa wedopo kwa tathana na akapa kongwazi honora wa heta tuwa imu eriari one ombari eriari onano.
No matter where you are, if you have a
All right, welcome back. And please make sure that at 9 o'clock, we're going to talk more about the tournament. And Mr. Da Silva Tseyakuku will actually join me. I will be contacting him to give us more on the tournament. So, just about 15 minutes from now, make sure that you stay tuned and to hear more on the tournament. That's a place to be. If you find yourself at this part of the world, you know, make sure that you make a turn, man. Let me not preempt what we're going to discuss. Okay? Stay tuned for that. All right. We're talking about the national oil storage facility. And given where we are, we find ourselves, you know, at this point in time. So are we ready? Are we prepared? You know, do our facilities as resilient, capable as the minister seemed to allude to by saying, hey, don't worry. Don't worry. We are okay. We are okay. Now, the acting, as I said, the terminal, the acting terminal manager, is now at this point in time, you know, saying we need to train Namibian to service this infrastructure. And that's actually too late. Of course, it's saying getting certification so local professional can maintain this system on behalf of the manufacturer. We needed to think about that at the very beginning when at our pre, you know, conception. And then when we started building, we also have people gone for training, especially to China. If our intention is actually using China's equipment, we could have already sent people to China. Yeah? And the companies that actually do this and have kind of negotiation with them to say, look, where do we send our people? Now we find ourselves with our pens down and say, no, we need to do this. It's too late. We may do it, but it's going to take time before now we, and in the meantime, we're carrying massive money in running, because now you have to expert coming from outside to come and just fix a small thing. I'm saying small thing because I have no idea what it is. So don't take my words on that. Now, and well, of course, what she's saying, she's right. Eh? She's right because, you know, if we build a $6.5 billion facility, and then depending on a foreign expert, every time a valve corrodes and we haven't really built independence, you know? So that means we haven't really built independence. So have we? We haven't. Eh? And we are caught with our pants down. So now we kind of like, okay, this, well, what do we do? Okay, let's now build capacity. Where are you, man? Seriously. You know, why are we looking at this? Okay. Why are we looking at it? Because the timing of this story is no accident, really. It's no accident. Right now, the Brent crude oil is trading above 114 a barrel, $114 a barrel. So the conflict involving the U.S., Israel and Iran have choked supply route through the Strait of Hormuz. So where roughly 20% of the world's oil passes through. So that's why our fuel prices went up. Okay? That's why our prices went up, and that's why Energy Minister Modesto Amtse stood before, you know, the camera last week and told the Namibia, hey, ye muni panic ni, eh? Don't panic. Don't hold fuel. Don't panic and don't, you know, do this panic buy. So we have 1 or 2 months of supply. Okay? And some people actually said, this sounds like a contradiction because you say we have enough for 2 to 3 months, but you're also again increasing, you know, the price. Eh? You're hiking the price. And that, you know, that supply cushion, you know, it's a big part of, so we have to understand that this is a big part of this national oil storage facility. So it's a big part of it in those tank at Wavish Bay. So it gives Namibia a 30 day or, you know, or whatever, how many months, 30 day strategic reserves. Without it, yeah, so we still have to really say without it, we would be back to that terrifying 7 to 10 days window, You know, without it, we would have been on that and that list. So love it or criticize it. You know, there is a plenty, and there is plenty actually to criticize. This facility is doing exactly what it was built to do. Okay. Shielding us when the world goes haywire or whatever. You know, it's shielding us from that. But, and I think this is very critical. Okay. The National Oil Storage Facility, it doesn't, like as I said, when I said that, you know, people are saying this is a contradiction, it's a contradiction that we say we have some reserves and but we still have to increase the prices. So I think the national storage, the storage, it doesn't, facility doesn't control prices. Let me be very clear about that. So the strategic reserve protects us against supply disruption, not price shock. Okay? It's supply disruption, not price shock. Okay? Because the price can go on even when there was no disruption. You understand? So the price stability comes from a different mechanism. Someone told me last, who was that actually? Andreas? So told me that last week on that. So like the National Energy Fund, you know. So when fuel goes up at the pump, it is not because the storage facility failed. It has nothing to do with them. So it's because the global market are on fire. Eh? The global market are on fire, and we are, and as you know, we are an import-dependent nation. It's because of that. So, yeah, because of that, because the global market is on fire, as we can see in the Middle East, we are an import-dependent nation. That's why that is happening, all right? That's in terms of price. So, now, yeah, so you're also welcome to have your contribution on this. So our telephone, we have to maybe I don't need to apologize anymore. Just to tell you that our line hasn't fixed yet. It's gonna take a little while before we get all sorted out. So, but be patient. But you can still get to me. You can still get to studio. Use my number. 08081 854 8569. Okay, 08081 854 8569. So use that, and you can react to this very story. So 08081 854 8569. Okay, that's the number you can dial to come through. And have your say. So, all right. So when we come back, I'll be waiting for you. What do you think? What do you think? What is your reaction to this? And, have your say. 081-854-8569.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM. The I.
No matter where you are,
If you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Well, that's very true. That's a very, very true. And with your mobile app, with your mobile Eagle FM mobile app, you miss nothing. Absolutely nothing. Okay? So you can be able to go back if you were not able to listen, you know, live. You can always go, be able to go back and listen to entire program. Yeah. And if you contributed, for example, maybe you can go even listen to yourself. Okay? So if you contributed, and you can also go and listen to yourself. So what did I, how did I speak? How, what did I say? Okay? So, yeah. Make sure that you download that if you're first here, if you're just listening for the first time. You could be in the area where you, we don't, where you, our frequencies are not at the moment. So make sure that you download your mobile app, that Eagle FM mobile app. And there are a lot of features that are on that as well. So there's so much that you gain, okay, by having that app. Believe me. All right. All right, so okay, let me lend this what we have been discussing this morning. So the National Oil Storage Facilities is it's a critical national asset, but for 5 years it was underutilized, underpriced. It was only four cents per liter. So it was underpriced. So the state may have actually lost $100 million in revenue on that. And that kind of governance gap is not acceptable for a facility. The public is still, oh, I have been off all the time. I have been talking and, yeah, no, we tried, I tried to get, Mr. Da Silva to discuss the tournament. So I will call him in the next 5 minutes. He's a little bit busy at the moment, and I have been just going on, and I was off. All right. So yeah. If you want, just maybe for 1 or 2, 3 minutes, if you want to come through and have your reaction on what we have discussed so far in terms of this energy buffer that we have through the National Oil Storage Facility. So you can do that. 08, 08, if you want to react to our story, 08, 08, 1, 8, 5, 4, 8, 5, 6, 9. So, yeah, as I said earlier on, this facility, as we see now, it's a very critical national asset. And for 5 years, it has been really underutilized, and underpriced. So it has been only having one, for 5 years, having one company that has been using it, and in that process, I think we have lost, because of underprice as well, we also lost $100 million dollars in revenue. So yeah, how do you call that? That's Namibian way, man. We love you know, giving things for, you know, handing over things for free. It's most like for free, okay. So we're handing over minerals for free. Yeah, come in. We dig it for you. You give us a little bit. You know, we're going to dig it for you. You give us a little bit. We will be okay with that. And well, you can take the whole thing. Take. You know, that's Namibia for you. All right. That's who we are. We dig. We even help you. We even build the road, you know, for you that the things can go out smoothly. You know. So we even have, you know, a port, you know, We even have a nice board. We give all the things that need to, you know, to do to make things easy for you to take out our resources without, you know, adding value to it. We're very good at that. Okay. We're good at that. Okay. Take as long as you give us a little, for us to survive. That's fine. All right. A very good morning.
Does this thing show as a scam or what?
Eh?
Good morning. That's my numbers thing show as a scam. Or
what? He's still saying suspected spam, you know? So, and now I know this is Uncle Bernard coming, you know? I'm getting worried. Some of us are followed by police, my friend.
My friend, maybe I should go to the MTC or wherever intelligent and tell them that those under me, tell them that what is happening here.
Yeah.
So that they can take note of that because I'm also protected anyway.
Yeah. Now you have 2 or 3 minutes because we're going to have an interview with Mr. Tsenaye. All right.
Sorry. And then
Well,
I saw now that means the storage is now being going to be utilized effectively and at the full capacity.
Yeah, there are plans. There are good plans that strategy.
I think it's very important to be having some reserve. The other country, US and wherever. So that's what we know now, that they are just cutting oil from here and the resources, and they're going piling their reserves.
Yeah.
Whenever crisis happened, they got back to their reserves.
Yeah.
So it is now an indication to us, a lesson that yes, we should create those big facilities, those big ones in storage. But the problem is that the entrepreneurs are not picking up those opportunities to come and do some storage here.
In
the rural areas and peripheries, all those ones, it is up to us now. It's an opportunity for us to take up those advantages. Let me wait and listen.
All right. Yeah.
Good.
Okay, great. Yeah, the spam men, you know, yeah. All right. Let's try again Da Silva and see if it will be available for our interview on the tournament. All right. So, well, stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number.
All right. Very good morning. Good morning. And we finally got Mr. Da Silva Tseakuku. Good morning, Mr. Da Silva. How are you?
How are you? I'm doing good.
All right. It has become the time of that time again, the Tseakuku Easter tournament. It's coming up. So how are the preparations so far?
The preparation is going on. We are at 95%. Because today we are going to have a draw, and tomorrow we are resting, and Friday we are kicking off with the tournament. So teams are coming through, they are paying their registration. So by 4 o'clock today, we'll be having a draw where we'll be seeing which teams are going to face which team.
All right. Now let's give, maybe there are people who are listening who don't know what Tseakuku Easter tournament is all about and how it started. So can you give us just a rundown of a little bit of a background and why this tournament was started, and how far are we now in terms of how long it has been running?
Okay, something that boosts the economy in this country is sport. And in 2021, the guy with the name called Mateza Mnakapa started with a small tournament in a village called Tamtara.
Yeah.
In Ndangwa, Lula, constituency of Shana region. And the only aim was to make sure that he keeps the young people busy and also try to boost the economy and coming to local. Mostly the people that are selling in the village or at cooker shops.
Mm.
So we started with probably just with a tournament that was sponsored with 20,000. And you see, when you're not doing anything, people won't see the need. After that year, that was 2021, the business people have seen what impact was made by the tournament, and we really need to say thanks to Mr. Tiakuku Investment, who came up with the sponsorship, and he said, guys, from today on, this tournament will be annually and it will be continuing each and every year. And then we are very grateful for that because we never thought something like that was going to happen.
Mm.
So it's a tournament that that is always attended by more than 3,000 people that are coming together, connect, and also play football, and also showcasing their talents, and at the same time also showing people that, yes, here in the North, that's what we do. But this is what is happening here when you come here, always at Easter. And we're doing well because we are seeing the turn-up.
Yeah.
Every year, which is different for last previous stand-up. And we're also getting feedback from the people that attended the tournament. Also, our leaders, mostly the political leaders, they're also saying, guys, what you are doing is good because we're also meeting the government halfway.
Yeah.
If you remember now, my brother, the 8th administration said they are going to build sport stadium on all the 14 constituencies. Why maybe? Because they're seeing there's something happening on the ground. If our people can play in the soil, we should also at least do something for them so that they also start playing in the grass. So we are operating without knowing what is going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah. Now, now this year, I think as people always said, you know, it's bigger and better. Is that the case this year? Is it bigger and better?
That's what I'm saying. It's always grow every year. It's bigger and better because what we did last year with a girl. I started with this girl at the age of 13.
Yeah.
And today she's playing for the national team under 20 medium. She lives in Namibia, in Uganda. She was in South Africa. She was
So these are the girls that actually won the Cassava Cup, isn't it?
She's playing for the baby gladiator.
Oh, okay.
So last year, as a person that is promoting football or sport in the country, I thought I should bring this girl at the tournament, and so people will understand that ladies or girls can also play football.
Yeah.
So after that, this year we have to add
a women's soccer
category of women.
Yeah.
So, because recently we only have legends and youth, and we're only focusing on the men. So this year we added now women's soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Because if what a man can do, a woman also can do. And then we're also talking about the 50-50.
Yeah.
So that's why we're saying it's also bigger and better.
All right. Yeah. So now you mentioned now the woman category, there's also legend category. So what are the categories that people can enter on the tournament?
Those are the three categories that we have.
Yeah.
And those are not the only category that we will be wanting to have. But with the limitation of the amount of money that we always have, we always look at that. But every year, we are trying to add another sport code so that at the end of probably 2 or 3 years going forward, we'll be hosting probably 75% of the sport code that is, of sport codes that normally is in Namibia.
Yeah.
So we only have the youth, legend, and women's soccer.
Yeah, okay. So if you maybe have the information with you, what are the prizes? Don't go maybe run through everything, but in terms of the bigger prizes, the winner in terms of
the
youth.
The tournament was sponsored with 135,000 at the youth category. Well, the first will be getting 35,000.
Yeah.
Then the runner-up, that one will be 20,000, and semi-losers, they are getting each 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
Legends, we have the first one will be going for 10,000. 5,000 lineup and semi-losers 2.5. And for women's football, the first one goes for 2,000.
Yeah.
Second one is 1.5 and semi-losers 750. Because these are just newly introduced, and mind you, next year we'll add more.
Yeah. Mm. All right. And the other area maybe that maybe you can also go into is a business, small business, those who will be, you know, taking this opportunity when people comes. You have always those who have their stalls and things like that. How is the preparation of those?
Otamtara is a deep is a village deep in Ndangwa. Urban constituency, and then we look at our people, we look at our grannies, we look at our tatekulus. Mm. So we put a staff if you want to come and sell. In fact, the tatekulus, they are not paying anything.
Yeah.
Maybe probably just young people that are paying. It's just a 500 per staff, and you are having the chance to promote or to sell your product for 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
You won't get this one in other tournaments. The others are asking 2,000, but we are saying, okay, 500. So it may like 100 per day. And mind you, this one is being attended by more than 3,000 people. So the profit you are going to get,
yeah,
you're going to help your kids to go back to school. You're going to buy school stationery. You're going to pay your legislation, and also helping your young ones that are still at university in Namibia. And you're just doing it for our people.
Yeah. Is there any limit in terms of the business? What I mean is that ngondiripo kantikange ngondirirwa kwinya, would that be allowed, or there are just tents that need to be occupied?
No, there's a big open space, bro. Like, we are not limiting everyone. As long as what you are selling or she is under Namibian law is permitted to be sold,
mm-hmm,
in Namibia. Otherwise, it's not legally, and we will not accept it, because we'll be on the wrong side of the law.
Yeah.
We want to do things that are legal. If whatever you're going to sell is legally,
yeah,
then we're not going to limit you. Or whatever you are coming in for, something that where kids can play, or maybe you want to showcase your talent because it's a traditional what. Come, we accept you, because we are giving opportunity to every Namibian to showcase or to sell whatever they can sell, which is legal in Namibia.
Yeah. From the past experience, I think from the previous one, how receptive this was to the community, especially now when it comes to, first of all, when it comes to sport, and also now when it comes to the business side?
You see, normally when you're hosting an event, you always have to do the evaluation.
Yeah.
But where do we went wrong? What did we do good or right?
Mm.
So, like what I said, we are getting good feedback. One of the good feedback that you're showing is the people that will be calling you by November.
Yeah.
Is the tournament still on next year?
Mm.
You see, and already know. If you ask that person, why? No, I want to be part of the tournament.
Yeah.
You see, because what also we did last year, we had a live streaming. And it's also continuing this year. So when you are coming there, we are live streaming. People are getting captured. So we also photo shoot. Like, free of charge, you have a player entering the field.
Yeah.
You are being photo shoot. And those speakers are being shared for free. You don't need to pay someone. You see, everyone just wants to be part of it. That's why I'm saying, each and every, we have more than people that attended previously. Last year, if last year we have 2,000 people, this year we are going to get more than 2,000 people, because you see the traffic, you see people are calling, you see the text, and people are talking about it everywhere, and also at the same time, partnering even these by making a partnership with media houses, also helping the tournament to go, because you guys are the people that are telling your people that, oh, there's something that's happening here.
Yeah.
Before two, this tournament also won't grow, won't be seen, won't be known.
Yeah. So are there any challenges that you are foreseeing in preparation of this? Only about actually 2 days or so before we start, and you're already starting with a drawing. So any challenges that you foresee during...
In life, challenges will always be there.
Yeah.
One, you will not know how many teams you are going to partake. I think it's a tradition when it's coming to village tournaments.
Yeah.
Teams always register on the last date. And sometimes also now make you to be worried. Do I prepare this? You know, if you put it that, if you think like you're only going to take, you get 20 teams, then boom, that's 20 teams. Then when coming out to sports field, you have to be running here and there to get extra.
Yeah.
But you always have a plan B if that thing happens. But you really don't put just effort on field C, probably only put effort on field A and B. But boom,
beyond. Yeah.
And we don't really want to say, no, we only need this, we only need 40 teams or we only need 35 teams. We want to make sure we are accommodating them. But at the end of the day, sometimes we don't know how many are they that are coming. We only know after the draw. Like today, by 9 is when I know, okay, we got 50 teams, so we need extra 2 more feet. So that's why we have now a day before the tournament starts. So we have a first day to run through and see, okay, if we have more than teams, then we need to go run and get some spot field that we are going to accommodate other teams.
Yeah.
Or we need to go and get extra balls, or maybe we need to go and get more security, or we need to go extra and get more medics. So those are some of the challenges that normally happen in just short time before the tournament kick off. But we always try and maneuver and try to overcome. Even it's not really easy, because something just gonna that we're gonna work in a day.
Mm.
Yeah. We just need to work very, very, very hard. And another challenge is that it's not really a challenge, but I'm saying we have our people, mostly the business people.
Yeah.
Our political leaders that are seeing these young ones, they are dying. We might not reach everyone,
yeah,
because we might not know everyone, but we know other people. But I'm always saying, if you see someone is doing better, cannot you approach and say, guys, next year, I also want to be part of this tournament.
Yeah.
Please, I'm adding this one so that you can also include other sport code that you are neglecting, because we also don't want to neglect other sport. We also want to have netball.
Mm.
We also want to have
volleyball.
Well, our magnetic.
Mm.
We also want to have chess. We also want to have volleyball.
Yeah.
You see? But if people are not coming to also to meet us, say, halfway, we might not have those sport codes. But I'm saying, if you are seeing these guys are doing better, come to us, let's talk and see how we can help ourselves and our young people. Because tomorrow, we're going to say, we made Namibia better.
Mm. Yeah.
Together. So, not I made. We are saying, we made Namibia better.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, no, I'm thinking also a challenge maybe that's beyond human control when it comes. It's a raining season. You know, any, how is your preparation in terms of that possibility?
Yeah, we did it a long way. We know our field, how is the landscape and other stuff. But I'm always saying, God is good,
yeah,
or whoever is doing good for others.
Mm.
And we are very prayerful, and we always believe in Him. He never disappointed us for the past 5 years. But
yeah,
we can't control that. We have seen even where they are having staff, where even other countries that are world dropped, sometimes they just have to stop people when they are playing. But What can we do? If it happened, it happened. We just have to push or postpone some games and see how we're going to finish. But I'm really hopefully, and I'm not saying I don't want the rain. You see, we want the rain to happen.
Yeah.
But we have tried something that we can manage if it comes. And if it goes beyond with our preparations, then everyone will understand. We just have to move on to the next weekend, because these are natural things that we cannot, I cannot really say, to one drain. I won't do anything. I'm not a Sangoma, probably Sangoma dog to stop the rain. But obviously, I know God is good, is a God of good people, and always look at these people. Hopefully, to be giving us a chance and then finish the tournament 4 days, and can even start raining Monday, 19 o'clock when you're done.
So we there's always an encouragement of business people actually to come on board with on event like this, for example. Do you have any other sponsors that may be sponsoring this along with the Tseyakuku?
That was a plating. If you want your tires to be replaced and other stuff, and Otamcheche guest house.
Yeah.
Also, sponsored is on board. We have Mr. Kafiri. He's normally doing it, but he's what's this? Why I'm forgetting? What is Otamcheche normally do?
The what?
Mr. Gandhi, normally it's not evaluation, but when you want your book to be looked through.
The auditor. Oh, you mean Kanjeke?
Philip is an auditor, and also having a security company in Mandangwa. So those are our three sponsors. So, and we are not saying we don't need more sponsors. Just come on board.
Of course, with more code that you're thinking in the future, definitely you need more sponsors to come on board.
We need more sponsors. And when I'm saying we need more sponsors, this what we get from the tournament, we are not making it ours. If you look, when you have a tournament of like this, you are giving job to the referees. And these referees, they are putting a bread on the table for their families. We are paying the security that are being controlling or being part of us during the tournament.
Yeah.
We are paying the medics. And those are we are saying, these are the things that we are not just doing it because we want to give money, but we are thinking about these people, when they get this money, they're also going to help their family. But if we keep quiet and say, this tournament, we're not going to take part, then what? These people will not put bread on someone's table.
Okay, before your final message, let's have a quick break and then we come back to it.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai etetwa weather ko ombunikiro ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohakane na wina ikare no matha ko murungu wa indu. Warirongere kusha umune ondengu okura ko imba. Una ovi une vya peke ko rondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe. Po, twika ovinki no kukara no rupa ondando ya peke yukianja Oshimariva. Olo perecente dano komiede vitatu moshimariva olo perecente umurongo komiede hambo ume moshimariva olo perecente umirongo ivari na dano komiede umurongo na vivari moshimariva. Itororera ondengu jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyano kife. Ashiesho imba kekupe oshimariva shishuhina omarithiro. Imba o maoronga neno owiru haka enina itako na wina rishangika jinon.
All right, Mr. Da Silva, you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Just probably your last word or invitation for those who are listening right now or who will be in the north around that time. So what is your last message, your invitation message?
I would like to say, if you've never been at this tournament and want to experience something that you never experienced before in your life, it's better you visit or you be part of the tournament. That's from the 3rd to the 6th of April, Friday to Monday. And in fact, if you are driving from anywhere and you are heading to the north, just make a tent.
Yeah.
So you can you can go and tell a story one day. And in fact, we come with peace when we're coming to the tournament. Don't carry weapons, because here we are very peaceful here, and it's very safe for you. Even your car security is tight here, and just come meet new friends.
Yeah.
When you meet new friends, you share numbers, and we take it from there. Namibia is a small country, and then we just need to lift it up, and we need to make sure that we are doing better for our own country. So probably for those who want to partake on the tournament, or want to come, or want to have a staff, you can call us at 081-733-7933, 081-733-7933, that's my number. And you can call me Sanakapa, 081-221-2588, 081-221-2588.
All right. And as you said, they must come and tell the story. Eagle FM will be actually there to capture the story every moment. All right?
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Da Silva. Yeah. All right. That's Da Silva, Tsea Kuku. Tournament. We're talking about Tsea Kuku Easter Tournament 2026. That will be starting on the 3rd to the 6th of April over the weekend, over the Easter weekend at the Eheke District, at the Tsea Kuku Sport Field at the Eheke District. Make sure that if you find yourself in the area, make a turn and see what is going on and be a witness of an amazing and exciting tournament. It was last year, because we are part of that as well. So we will be part of that as well. We'll bring it to you live. Make sure that you tune to our Facebook. It will be live, and on our YouTube, it's gonna be live as well. So make sure that you tune in if you want to know. If you are not in the north and you want to just know what is going on. All right. We will bring it to you, live. All right. So you are most welcome now to come through. If you want to say something, or react to, the true story that actually, bring you, earlier. So the one story, earlier that we talk of national, storage facility, oil storage facilities, and also now, this Tsea Kuku Easter tournament. Maybe you have been part of that and you just want to come through and said, hey, I would invite people to come because this is what I experienced. Or maybe you are a business, smaller business enterprise where took part in that, and you just want to encourage your fellow entrepreneurs, small business people, vendors, to say, well, take that opportunity. Last time I was there, you know, I was managed able to get, you know, something for school fees, for to buy shoes, and you know, and other things, you know. Yeah. Yes, you are back. I know you because you are a spam on here, okay?
I think I must take it up, man.
Yeah. All right.
Very take it up.
Yeah.
And yes, maybe just to conclude and incorporate the view of
Yeah, like oyakuku. Ngashingena toti tse yakuku. Yeah, mochindonga.
Sheva mekulu.
Yeah, I know that, yeah.
Thank you very much for that, and it's very important that those are also areas of opportunity emerging in the market.
So we have heard that many a times sponsors and things like that. I know one of my brother were having a convention yesterday, a meeting.
Yeah.
Talking about sports, although they are concentrating on the boxing. So all the code of sports, like you were mentioned there,
yeah,
are very necessary, especially if you are to ship out the people who are living idols.
Mm.
Not because they want to do that, it's because there might not be opportunity brought to them.
Yep.
Because yeah, the opportunity is not that you just go and look for them. Where do you go?
Okuchango is someone imagine economic
opportunity.
Yeah, someone have onomiti dembe. You have actually embe trees in your field, and this is an opportunity now to go and sell your embe. You know, your berries. Maybe now you have a fukwa. You know, you have just made already nuts in your field. So this is an opportunity to go and get your 100 or 200 or whatever. It make a difference, you know.
Yes, for those who do not have, and those who cannot take them to the market to get that amount of money. But there are those naturally in their homestead, they are no embe at all, no ndunga, nothing.
Mm.
So now it is for you now to bring those things like you are saying to them. But in relation with the economic opportunity, which are difficult also to find.
Yeah.
It is for us now to bring them. I think one of the massive projects, some of the massive projects that might bring those, come with those opportunities, is those sport fields.
Yeah, yeah.
That the governors were directed to construct.
Mm.
So in almost every area, whether it's electricity, power, solar panels, installations, or construction, and many other areas.
Yeah.
Even those who may want to have some kind of incubation or area of trading, because that one is obvious, because these ones are going to be made in such a way, not like even this, even the stadium.
Yeah.
So they must make it in a way that it is down there, there is a big space for the traders and vendors and all these things. And those who will be there permanently working, or whatever the case might be, all those trade fairs and other events should be taking place there. We should be an example in terms of, you know, how those sports fields were constructed in South Africa. One of my electrical engineer friends said, who were actually designing those things, and they are also designing malls around here. They put some kind of stadium. Remember the president Agegenkop, late, his soul rest in peace.
Yeah.
He was talking about the cutters in terms of sport and all facilities and containers. There were a lot of things. So I think those opportunities must be taken to the people by actually digesting the information, because I know there was a workshop that was held.
Yeah.
For journalists.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you people have attended that.
We have, yeah.
It was hosted by some of those experience and GIPF, that the journalists need to now tell simple stories out of this financial data, so that they can mean so much, meaning they can have meaning to us, and the people will take up those financial or economic opportunity through those dissemination of information that's very simple and clear.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I think those are the ones that, yes, as we talk here and people to tell your story better than us, let them entice people and motivate people to come and see where the opportunities are being talked about.
Yeah.
So I think it's fine. Let me end up here.
All right, Uncle Bwana.
Good.
Thank you. Yeah, make sure that you are part of that tournament. If you are on this part of the world. And if you come, if you would like really to engage me on this topic and other topic that we have earlier on, 081-854-8569. That's my personal number. Our line in the studio is still under construction. Okay, it's still under, still being repaired. All right. So, yeah, 081-854-8569. That's the number you can call. So, yeah, the tournament, Seakuku Easter tournament, it's coming up over the weekend, and the prizes are quite are bigger than before. The winner, just probably the winner for the youth soccer is about 35,000. And then you have legend soccer, that's actually about 10,000. And then you have the women soccer, which is about 2,000. It's a new category. That's the prizes that you know. And then definitely you have the trophy, and then you have a full kit as well. You will have a full kit as well. And then 18 gold medals. So, yeah, there's not just a prize money, but there's also, a full kit, a trophy, and 18 gold medals that you're getting. So make sure that your team participate, or if you're around, make a turn there as well. So this is Unpacking the Day. Good morning.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back on your favorite station, Eagle FM, the 24-hour talk radio station. So welcome to Unpacking the Day. And this is also the show where we break down the stories that really, really matter to you. Maybe also that also matter to your wallet and also matter to your to your future. All right, we do it here. So last week, let's get on. Let's move on. Last week, the Minister of Finance, Eric Chafuda, launched a plan called the National Payment System Vision and Strategy 2030. So we're going to look at that for the few minutes that left on that we still have. So after this.
Wahara kukutho mbinga mesindana joshimara kuzapo mawabi umiongo hetake wukapo mbanda. Shangita ano ngundoe yetanga, mama tigathana wotse ya kuku Easter Tournament, chiro kaika karako mama siku wa tatu, siku wa kamano wapi umbogo tungu. Poka pareke tanga, kotse ya kuku Meheke District. Umaudhano kwa unjuka, adhana adeli kwa opo ya kareli kwa hiyo umvura umiongo ndatu na tanu, monotavro kusindana ushimara shumara umiongo kamano na ntano kwa umuma. Shangita ano ngundoe nina, keo virume no mathirigane no mirongo ntano havike tuti. Kwa mbono ina omvura omirongo ndatu na hamanu shuka pomanda, otamu kusa ombinga mo Legends category, category kaa kokere, mono to sindana shumarwa omaovi omulongo na wakheali, no mathiri katano kwa umuma. Shangithandu no ngunduwe, no mathiri katano keovi aliketu uti. Ukadono ugonjuka. Seye kuku annual Easter tournament, na neine mpatira konje, shangithano ngunduwe, no mathiri katano, no dara o mathiri katano aliketu uti. Koma uyeri kagwe dwako, dengela nakapa, kunora mafeta tunoimwe, oimenone, ombariari, ontano, nondatu no hamano. Nenge kudasuva, konoma mafeta tunoimwe, ukeari nondatu, datu keari, ongoi, nondatu yari.
All right, that's the tournament. And I think I'm going to take, part in the Mwambia Akokere, Maakokere mwi. So I'm going to take part in the old crook. The old crocs You know, that's our category. That's our category. Yeah. Last week, the Minister of Finance launched a plan called the National Payment System Vision and Strategy 2030. If that actually works, let's have a caller. A very good morning.
Yes, that's me. How are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm okay, man.
How's Wintuk?
That's a good initiative. And I'm sure the way it started, even we are the one who started even like playing legend there.
Yeah,
it was just tough not to go through, but Lalanja or Ndamwa legend.
Yeah, okay.
It's one kind of tough team, I think, to end in that tournament.
I'm also sure.
And for me, that is a good initiative already happening. And I hope that a lot of people can start doing this around their, even their village or so on. Most people, they are well off, but they never pay attention to social being of their people.
Yeah, actually, it's one thing I always ask myself, that why many there are some very good business companies or institutions that are doing very well, that are very supported. That let's say, for example, you have Choppies around Ongwediva or Pick and Pay around your town or whatever. Why don't they put up tournament like that? Yeah,
exactly. Shop, right?
Exactly. I don't understand why actually these businesses don't put up things like that. Yeah?
It's true. So I'm saying, no, it's the high time. I say people need to be pushed to do something for the community where they are generating money.
Yeah,
because I'm telling you, they take their money out, but I'm telling you, when the community need them, they shy away from them.
Yeah, and this is the problem, having actually this company are not locally owned. Yeah. So
it's almost like that. they are doing it where they come from.
Yeah.
They are for profit.
They only care about your money. They don't care about you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I want, that my input. The good thing is very.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. It's as you want to see those kind of initiative everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
It's Easter time, it's Easter weekend. You want to bring people together. Let's experience something different, you know. Have fun. Mommy kundanga show mommy ankara na nini ma. You know, that's something that actually people can talk about in a year. Eh?
No, just like talaga na gaspe Christmas ako kung ano yung they are not together, and then something.
Yeah.
Married in a dear boy, Oshimara, he can hear. You talk about even some ministers, you talk about even some CEO, they are all from Mandobin.
It's one thing, really, you know, part of you know, many of us, as many parents or adult people complain of, in terms of, the youth are just, you know, are just hanging around bars and you know, they are ill-disciplined and whatever. And even with the planning of town, sport fields are things that are actually afterthought for many of these. Yeah? So, and those are things that should have been at the forefront of every development. Where do you expect young people? Tell me, in our town around here, where do we expect our people to be? You know, we should have been built already some facilities, you know, in some of this town. Put money into it and be able to build that. And now, even when you are given money, you know, you are not be able to do that. So, where do you think our young people would find recreational places rather than bars? You turn everywhere is a bar, 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 bar. Of course, that's the only places where they can, you can find them. You will find them. Yeah? It's sometimes painful, really. Yeah, you know, people that have the responsibility of developing our town or bringing development to our town have no vision, really. They, you know, they can talk and talk and talk, you know, but when it comes to implementation, So, yeah. We still have about 7 minutes. Okay, we can go through this. I was talking about the payment, the national payment system, the national payment system that was launched, Vision and Strategy 2030, that was launched by the finance minister. So now, if it works, Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow. Okay. That line is working.
How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
What's the program on the air now?
It's Unpacking the Day.
Oh, Unpacking the Day.
Yeah. And one thing that you were not listening. Yeah?
Oh,
Okay. The things that we looked at earlier on, maybe talk about on oil, the oil prices that's increased. And that has become, you know, a really burden to a household budget. So what do you think about that?
Okay. Sorry, there's an echo coming in. Sorry.
Oh. My friend, now you want me to wait for you? All right. For some reasons that I wasn't aware about, actually the line is working. Okay? The studio line is working 0808-0833-66091. By accident, I see this one coming through. Maybe it was me not informed about it. All right. It is working. Okay. Someone just came through. All right. 0833-66091. Okay. That saves my phone. Yeah. We still have 5 minutes. There's a call coming in, there's a call coming in, please, you can come back. I couldn't wait you now to speak on air with the call that is coming in. So, 0833-66091. All right, you may now come through. I should have known, you know, guys. All right. Yeah. And if we talk about the national, what has been sold, the payment, national payment system, vision and strategy 2020-2030. And I said, if it worked the way the government is promising, the way you send money to your, you know, to your grandma, to your grandmother somewhere in, you know, Hangwena, or the way you pay for your tax ride, you know, for your tax ride to work, you know, you just, even the way the way the lady selling kapana at the open market collects her money, you know, all of that could actually look very, 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 very different by the end of this, you know, by the end of this decade, you know. So, and now let's give you the background. So I still have some minutes, yeah, so that we are all on the same page. Okay, this strategy was developed jointly by the Bank of Windhoek, by the Bank of Namibia, not the Bank of Windhoek, by the Bank of Namibia and the Payment Association of Namibia. So it lays out a roadmap for modernizing, you know, how money moves across the country between now 2026 to 2030. So that's the strategy. Now, the idea is straightforward, really. So make payments safer. I mean, make payments faster, make them safer, make them cheaper for everyone. Okay. So that's the strategy. So from the banks in the capital right down to the street vendor in some way in Helauna Fidi or in Opuo. Okay. So the minister framed it as Namibia not wanting to be left behind as the rest of the world actually goes digital. So she said the country must actively shape its own financial future rather than just watching from the sidelines. And that's basically what we're trying to do now. So it's a very strong word from the minister. But words are one thing and delivery is another. That's what we want to see. We don't just want, we have been hearing so much, you know, there has been so much being said, so much being said, so much being said. We want delivery. Okay, guys, not only for this, we must have everyone put up placards and, you know, posters and things like, let's get into the street. Okay, I'm not calling for, and I'm asking, and we go and said, we want delivery, delivery, delivery. Enough for the launches and the talking. All we want is service. All right. So, and it's exactly that's exactly what we need. So, yeah, what does this actually mean? This whole thing for any one of us. Imagine you are an informal trader, for example, at the single quarter market. What does this now instant payment system mean for you? So right now, most of your customers pay you in cash, isn't it? You handle notes and coin all day. You know, you worry about theft. Maybe somebody gonna steal my money, or you have no record of your earnings. That's the other thing. So you have no record of your earnings. Maybe you have it in your head. How much is it? But you don't have any record of that. So, and when you go to the bank to ask for a loan to grow your business, for example, or what they ask for proof of income that you simply don't have in any formal way. So this would be, under this new strategy, this vision is that your customers could simply scan a code with their phone to pay you. Okay? And that transaction would be instant. Just like that. And it will be recorded now digitally. So it will be recorded digitally. And over time, that record of digital payment could actually become a proof of income. Okay? Something that opened doors now to, you know, to credit, to loans, to real financial services that many, many informal workers have been locked out for years. So, yeah, this is not just inconvenience. It is about, it's about economic dignity. You remember when you are just a vendor, you're not seen as having dignity, financial dignity. So I think it's something that really give you some dignity as well. So, because then when you walk in, they can have a record and see that. They don't even realize that you make more money than some people that get a pay slip at the end of the month. So, and think about the pensioners, okay? The pensioner is somewhere in Umsati who wait in a long queues every month just to collect her grant money in cash. You know, then travel back home carrying that cash, exposed also to all kind of risk. Now, if digital payment become widely accepted and trusted, because that's also important, that same pensioner, you know, could receive her money directly on her phone and use it at any shop in her community without even touching a single banknote, you know. So, yeah, and if you look at in a bigger picture, the minister tied this strategy now directly to the Vision 2030 and the 6th National Development Plan. All right, so these are not new. When you think these are not new documents, okay? When you talk, we have all this coming through other administration as well. So they have been guiding the country development agenda for years, okay? Now, but this is the first time we are actually seeing, such a concrete targeted plan to modernize the financial really, how would I call it? You know, the financial system that run, let's say for our country, the entire economy, you know? So one of the most significant promises in the strategy is, interoperability, that's the word, and that's a fancy word. But what it means is simple: your mobile wallet, okay, your bank account, and your personal, and you excuse me. So your mobile wallet, your bank account, and the person you are sending money to, they should all be able to talk to each other without, you know, friction or delay. So just like instantly. So, and right now in Namibia, if you use one mobile money service and then, and the person you are sending to uses a different one, the process can be slow. Sometimes it can be slow, expensive, or sometimes simply impossible. So, yeah. So breaking down those walls is a big deal. I think it's a very big deal. And it means that the market becomes more open and more competitive, and that competition should ultimately drive costs down for consumers. So, yeah, let me not take up much of the time. I think of the France, Kamati Koka Pofi. Yeah, so yeah, that it will be a revolution in this country. And there are other countries already that, you know, in Africa that are using this kind of system, and it bring a really a big, it make a big difference. Yeah. So, well, that's what we have for you for today, for this morning on Unpacking the Day. Tomorrow is another day, as my Nigerian teacher used to say. So tomorrow is another day. So let's do this again, at the same time. We start at 8 o'clock until 10. And, yeah. Enjoy the new month. Welcome. Let's welcome April. Hopefully it's going to be a great month. And, yeah, let me leave in the hands, very good hands, capable hands of Tate France, coming up with Kutha Mosha. From me, a big mic. I'll see you tomorrow. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene anange shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika seitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe yonge shifa yoe kupitira mo Igele FM Media House ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu Moambo, dengira selma, onarahita tuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oniyaji. Igele FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha, utekirwa kaguna, imatina, omjo. Chikawa shafasa na nana, nongeshifa, yae, shiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao, ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa, ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayakuro, nirandithoma, yoe, yongeshifa yoe okupitiramo, Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha, uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma konora heta tuimwe. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o niyari. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading